Brian Geisinger joins us now because the NBA Finals are upon us. And we got a cool soccer tournament in town, and he watches all sports. He may have even watched the NASCAR All-Star Race in North Wilkesboro, just because he grew up not too far from there. We'll see if we ask about that. BG, what's going on, dude? How you doing?
I'm good. Good to be on with you guys. How's it going?
Doing all right. Is it even possible to name all the outlets that you write hoops for now? I feel like we got Pack Pride, Devil's Den, Inside Carolina. Did we write for some Virginia sites too? What else did we do this basketball season?
Yeah. Streaking the Line.
Yeah.
Which is the Vox SB Nation site for UVA. I've done some stuff just for SB Nation. Proper Demon Deacon Digest, which is the Wake 24/7 site. Fan sided. Did some non-ACC basketball off-season content there. After Jaden Epps, it looked like he was going to go to NC State, and then he picked Georgetown. So, the piece that was going to be on NC State, I ended up just looking around and seeing if anyone else wanted it because it
Shop
was pretty
it.
Much done.
Nice.
So, yeah. Things are, it's staying busy. And then I'm out here at the TST, the soccer tournament with soccer.com. So it's been a beautiful day out here as well. So, season is 24, 365 day kind of 365 days a year kind of gig,
Very cool. Yes, you used to write about all the ACC teams for one site. Now you write about all of them for 15 different sites, basically. That's
right.
And then a few extras on the side. We will talk. I will ask you if you've talked to Chad Ochocinco or Steve Nash or celebrities like Austin DeLuce in just a minute. But I want to turn the attention to the NBA Finals tonight and ask you this. If the Nuggets are runaway winners, nobody's giving the Heat a chance. My question for you is, if I put the over-under at 2.5 championships for the Nuggets and Jokic in the next, let's say, 8 years, are you taking the over and under? Over or under?
So they haven't even won one yet.
That's right.
Already doing
I'm giving them one.
You said 2.5, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take the under, but I wouldn't be surprised if they won multiple ones. I mean, they're set, Jokic is just getting into the prime of his career. Jamal Murray entering the prime of his career. Michael Porter Jr., they have those dudes locked up and under contract. When the new CBA kicks in the NBA, it might be tougher to keep that kind of core together with three max contract players and finding the right things to put around them. But with someone like Jokic, you're always going to have a top five offense, and you're always going to have a guy that's basically unguardable and is designed to just bend and warp defenses. So I'll say under. But I do think they're going to win the title this year. And if they win another one, that certainly would not be a surprise. But I like those odds if they're still going to win multiple titles and I can still hit the under. So I'll go 1-2, basically.
Yeah, I thought setting the over-under at 1.5 was too easy because I think everybody would say, they'll probably win this one and then win another one. But we've seen, Giannis has been – at times the best player in the NBA for a season. And you saw them win one, and then you see how hard it is, when the Warriors or Spurs or whoever's doing it at the time seem to make it look easy, you forget that it is not easy, even if you start with guy who might be the best basketball player on the planet. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing, too, is Denver could have had one already. Jamal Murray tears his ACL in April of 2021. Maybe they win the title that year. Maybe they won it. Maybe they would have won it last year, but they basically didn't have their best player, their second best player for two postseasons. And Michael Porter Jr., their third best player, they didn't have him in the playoffs last year. So, Jokic carrying that team to the playoffs last season was incredible, and it was why he won the MVP. But, it's nuts because they could very conceivably have one to their names already, but they certainly seem poised to bag one here this season.
All right, we've talked about it. We heard Eric Spoelstra talk about it. I mean, he didn't obviously give away some secret plan they're throwing out. He basically just said Jokic is unstoppable and we will try very hard against him. What a coach is going to say.
Yeah.
You are a dude. I could see you being the savvy mind on as an assistant coach to an NBA player. To an NBA head coach who does all the glitz and glamour stuff, and then he goes and he's like, all right, Brian, I need you to draw up the defense and stop Jokic. Is there a pattern in games that the Nuggets actually lost this year? Is there at least a starting point? I was describing earlier about like when Kobe was at his best, you didn't come in saying, all right, we need to hold Kobe under 20. It was like, we need to make him work really hard for his 28, and hopefully it's not 40, you know. Is there an even a starting point or a pattern for what has been most successful in slowing down Jokic in the Nuggets offense?
I mean, it's not really. Like, this has been, you know, they were the second best offense in the league this season in terms of points per possession. Obviously, they're even better when Jokic is out there. And in the playoffs, you know, as opposed to playing 36 minutes a game, he can play 42 minutes a game. So you're getting, you know, 90% of the game or whatever with this guy that basically every time he's on the court, you're getting good shots every time down the floor. I mean, some of the small stuff for Miami, I would think one of the things would be like, if their offense, if Miami can be efficient on offense as it was at times against Boston or hit shots the way they have, just like make Denver take the ball out of the net and don't let them get into their run and gun transition game where they're dominant, because even Jokic can rip and run. And like when Jokic is pushed in the fast break, it's just like, you know, it's he can pass like Magic Johnson. He can handle, and he's 7 feet tall, and all this, like, those possessions are unstoppable, right? But assuming it does turn into, you know, a half court type slugfest, if Jokic is just tough, because it can't just be, oh, we'll send two guys at him, right? Because one, if he sees the same look three straight trips down the court, he's going to destroy it. And he's the best passer in basketball right now, or among them. So it can't just be load up on him. And, I mean, I think some of the teams that have had success against him in the playoffs guarding him, like the Lakers, you saw them put Jared Vanderbilt or Rui Hachimura on Jokic and then had Anthony Davis roam, right? Yeah. And then had Anthony Davis be a helper and a guy that could just clog up the paint and close off the rim. But Miami can't really do that. Like, they're not going to put Kevin Love. I mean, I guess they could try. Like, they could try to put Kevin Love on Jokic and have Bam roam. But Bam, you know, one of the best defenders in the world, is not the kind of rim protector that someone like Anthony Davis is, where he's just going to totally block every shot in sight and make guys second-guess shots. So, I mean, my guess is they'll put Bam on him, and that's a pretty good one-on-one solution. But Jokic is bigger and stronger than him. He can get off that little flip shot, that hook shot, whenever he wants to. And if you send extra help, he's making the right pass. And just like, there's really no good answer for the Murray-Jokic two-man game. You can't switch it, because they can punish the size mismatch on either side. You know, you could try to trap Murray, but if you put two on the ball, then Jokic is open on the pop or on the roll. Like, I think they're going to have to mix it up a ton. They'll have to throw in some zone here and there. And then they're just going to have to give Jokic a lot of attention, I guess, and just hope that Denver's try to funnel as many of those passes to their less good shooters, but they've got lots of good shooters. So I think it's going to have to be a collection of stuff. It's just Eric Spoelstra just throwing, you know, junk ball defenses and then leaning on two elite defenders in Bam and Butler to be, you know, jamming up passing lanes and making things as difficult as possible. But no good answers, really.
Five words for you. Secret defensive weapon, Omer Yurtseven. Let's see it. I mean, I was suggesting, I don't know what Spoelstra's plan is going to be, but like you said, it's going to have to be junk defense, mad scientist type stuff. And that's where I was like, maybe you – and I feel like the Heat are, you know, they know they're underdogs. They're good. I feel like they're going to be playing to stay in games and then have Butler and company just try and tough out a fourth quarter or, you know, figure out who's hot and hit three threes, you know, with 4 minutes to go.
The other thought too would be like, can you use Jimmy, who's one of the best players in the world at drawing fouls? Like, could you somehow get him to, with enough pick and rolls at Jokic, get him in foul trouble? Like, the answer to that is probably not. But if you could get four fouls on Jokic early in the third quarter or something like that,
do some damage.
You know, my guess is that Denver would still roll with him. But like, if you could get him off the floor, then Denver becomes a normal basketball team and not this unstoppable offensive force.
Yeah. But I want to see Yurtseven in there just to like throw three fouls just to try and make it, you know, what's his name, uncomfortable. And like you said, I thought this too, is you can't give him the same looks. He's like a computer. He'll learn and be like, oh, well, if y'all are doing this, then I'm doing this. And I do like the fact that the Heat, you and I have talked about this before, I am not a proponent of zone defense as a core base defense, but I like mixing up look. I think in college people should do it even more, especially when young guys play more. Like, your man-to-man is your we-need-to-stop defense and it's your identity, but your zone is more to just so that if somebody thinks they figured something out, they got to think about it again. And so, yeah, I do expect Spoelstra to have some mad scientist-y type stuff to throw at Jokic every now and then.
That was always the thing in college that made Georgia Tech like a screwball team to play against when Josh Pastner was there, right? Like Georgia Tech would play zone on half the possessions, but it would be 1-3-1 zone, then it'd be 1-2-2, then it would be 2-3 trap, then it'd be like then it would be man-to-man, then man-to-man switch. Like it always made Georgia Tech the ultimate. Like they're going to try to drag the game into the mud and make you play, a lower possession, lower scoring game, and like that's what Miami should be trying to do against Denver.
No, I love that. Brian Geisinger joined us talking some hoops. He's also out at the soccer tournament for soccer.com. Can you give us it's so 2020 to ask this now, but Austin Deluce gave us a little bit of it, but you're now there and games are going on. Can you give us a vibe check out at Wake Med Soccer Park? Like, what's the scene? I'm seeing on social media, like I said, I see pictures of Steve Nash playing soccer and Chet Ochocinco's out there. Are there just like a bunch of games going on there? Does it feel like a festival? Yeah, what does it feel like?
It kind of is that kind of feel. Like, they've got 6 fields set up for games, and there's probably, 3 or 4 games going on at the same time. There's just like a cool mix of players. Like, there's been some former national team players from both the men's and women's side out here. Obviously, you've got Steve Nash playing for Como, which is being coached by Cesc Fabregas. He played for Chelsea and Arsenal, the Spanish national team. Chris Paul was out here walking around with his kids earlier today too. So it's been just kind of like a fun from the celebrity standpoint. I think it's been a lot of fun. Wrexham, or the team that's representing Wrexham AFC right now, they're playing. And, based off really the success of Welcome to Wrexham, the FX docuseries, they've got a big internet, USA fan base now. So there's a ton of people out here, to cheer on the Wrexham Red Dragons that's representing Wrexham AFC. So that's been really fun. And would you say for people that aren't here but are trying to get a feel for everything, which I would check out social media accounts at, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter for soccer.com. There's going to be, wall-to-wall coverage there all throughout the weekend.
That's awesome.
Starting yesterday and running through the championship game on Sunday afternoon here at Wake Med. So, yeah, great vibes. It's really fun. There's lots of, vendors for food and drink. And, it's just been really fun first day of matches so far.
A soccer jamboree going out there at the soccer tournament. I couldn't believe the basketball tournament has been going on for like 10 years now. Since I know you're basically running the tournament, I know, or the person who is running the tournament reports to you, Brian Geisinger. Can you pass on my idea if we need when the championship game is played, if not before, we need the like World Series of Poker style, just that we need the money sitting beside the field, the $1 million. I'd like it emptied out of the cases in a pile so that literally the team that wins can just go Scrooge McDuck into the pile of money after it wins. So see if you can make that happen.
I think that's a great idea. You would like one of the other things they're doing here where, like, you've been a fan of the Elam ending in basketball.
Yes.
Like when they've used that for the All-Star game.
Yep, we talked about this. Yep.
The TBT. Yeah, maybe you and Deluz talked about this earlier, but they're using a version of that called Target Score Time to decide games at this event, so all games are decided by a goal, which is I think has already created some like pretty fun drama in a couple of the early matches.
No, it's super cool. I love it. I'm not one who says, oh, we need to, I don't want a gimmicky sports. I don't want to rush to rules changes, but I am on team. Let's discuss rule changes and let's find places like this to try new things, and I think it's a perfect place to do it, and I think it's awesome that they're doing it. We talked about it a little bit earlier. I won't go through all the details, but like Brian said, the key is basically you have a game winner every game instead of one team running out the clock. So a goal hits the back of the net, and at that point somebody's in net, and it's not necessarily like a golden goal situation. So we talked about the details earlier, or you could go look it up, but it does create excitement in that sense. So very cool. You will be out there most of the weekend, I assume, my man, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, really looking forward to the next few days. Should be a lot of fun at the TST here in Cary.
Very cool. Brian Geisinger, go check out the soccer tournament. Check out all the coverage that he's helping with for soccer.com and all their social media accounts. And, of course, enjoy watching the NBA Finals tonight. Brian Geisinger sometimes is too locked in to put out tweets about exactly what's happening, but he might give you some insight on the Twitter machine at BGeisbird.
And I'm not watching NASCAR, but shout out to anyone who is doing that. Football and soccer here. Or, pardon me, soccer and basketball, I should say.
There you go. I appreciate it, dude. And we will talk to you soon. Enjoy the soccer tournament.
Yeah, sounds good.
The new Chevy Silverado HD puts you in command. Own strength with its enhanced available Duramax 6.6-liter turbo diesel V8. Own the lake with its available advanced towing technology. And own technology with an available 13.4-inch diagonal touchscreen. The new Chevy Silverado HD. Own work, own play, own life. Learn more at Chevy.com. Find new roads. Chevrolet.